This interview is part of the highlight we realized on Manifesta 7, the European Biennial. There, we met Jibesh Bhakti, one of the three artists from the Rax Media Collective. They are the curators of The Rest of Now, the exhibit held in Bolzano for the European Biennial. The Rax Media Collective are based in New Delhi, and they are working together since 1991. They are Monica Narula, Sudhabrata Zengupta, and obviously Jibesh Bhakti.
Well, my name is Jibesh Bhakti. I'm based in Delhi. I work in this collective, the Rax Media Collective, for the last 18 years now. We started in 1991-92.
This is Jibesh Bhakti. As a first thing, we asked him to tell us something about the curatorial concept and the idea behind it. But one thing has to be said. The show curated by the Rax Media Collective is held into an abandoned site, an impressive architecture of industrial archaeology, the ex-Alumix, a former aluminium industry.
Curatorial concept is something that has been with us. We have to look at it two levels. One level is our own investigation that we have been doing on this idea of residue for about last 4 or 5 years. It started, we were concerned with this kind of concept emerged very strongly. What happened was we were once invited to Liverpool Biennale. We were taken around Liverpool and we stayed there for a few days. And what struck us was this dockyards, which was highly automated dockyards. And there was no people around. And the settlement around the dockyard, which was almost vacant and very lonely life there, and with young men and women in a very complete, you can say, an intellectual social neglect, as if they don't exist, which surprised us enormously. Because Liverpool dockyards are, if you know historically, 20th century, late 19th century, is an amazing place. You have one of the world's most amazing cultural and political and social life in the dockyards. And by 1995, which we knew a history of it a little bit, 1995 was the last lockout, the kind of closed down to basically a working class presence. So then we started to figure out what is the conceptual form by which we could understand this experience. That is the time we came up with the idea of the residue and started rethinking the narrative of 20th century backwards, what falls out. And then if you start reading what falls out between things, you know, between different processes, you realize that huge amount of unthought area is built up. So that something that carried on and that had many different kind of ways in our work that was reflected. So when we got this invitation to come to Bolzano and this whole region, South Trier, we saw this whole landscape, and this factory was among one of the many factories that we saw. We saw a big cement factory, then a few more factories. And this factory stood out in kind of a very strongly to be understood, you know, because it was completely abandoned. Now you see a much more renovated version. So abandonment is something that is understood, but what is that get abandoned? You know, what so social processes that comes to a halt? Why does it happen? And a larger global architecture, but emerges where things don't actually stop in one place. It stops and then something appears in somewhere else. So this started. We started thinking this. So, and our curatorial method was to build a series of conversations with all the people. We started interacting slowly over the period of next 7-8 months, primarily by till February. And to build this conversation, we had this paragraph which is there at the beginning of the we made a Bolzano version, and we started sending this paragraph to this conversation to respond, not necessarily respond to the paragraph, respond to the investigation. And so you can say a huge collective intelligence got built, which tried to understand this concept in a completely different ways, and ways that was not possible for us to do in our own terms. So in that sense, it's kind of, you can say, a network, a web of intelligence and impulses and sensorial forms emerges that allowed us to rethink this category in a big way. And I think this whole curatorial design, what came out of it, was an attempt, was is still in that in, is in the process. So it's not that we had an idea, it got realized. I think the investigation has got opened up. So when we kind of go back and rethink what happened, I think new thought process will emerge that may deepen the idea of residue in a different way. So it's that, I would say, the curatorial process and the method.
The idea has to be transformed into something material, and basically, while Jibesh was talking, we were thinking how does the discussion process works in between the Rax Media Collective, and on which basis did they choose the artists for this exhibition? It came out that Monica Nadula has got a research folder in which she keeps notes on interesting people, articles, works, and artworks that she sees around.
So we were going through it, looking at it, and something like some work that Harold has done kind of evoked some idea of a closed option, but it was had a sense of possibility. You could make something out of it, but it was closed. So I'm giving it as an example that it charged you to think maybe it would be interesting to have this conversation with Harold, what he makes of it.
Harold is Harold De Brie, a Dutch artist whose work welcomed the visitor at the Alomix venue. In the pond just in front of the former industry, De Brie built a Bailey Bridge, which basically is a military bridge that first appeared during the Second World War to substitute bombed bridges.
But in this bridge, you can't go in and go out. It's like floats without... And we call it a bridge, but it actually is not a bridge. But our habit of symbolic meaning is that we keep on calling it a bridge. But it doesn't function as a bridge anymore. So this kind of conversational dimensions that opens up was how the response that one gets from it. And that builds. And then the building itself demanded a lot of intervention. The building itself demanded thinking about its very nature, its architecture, its texture, its what is it in it, its abandoned state, what was in its abandoned state. So all these things we started then building, putting it across to many. So it's not just written in a paragraph, it will remain a series of our own sensations and impulses and questions that the building gave rise to. So which we're putting across to many artists or practitioners who were coming in contact with us. And that built the whole architecture of this exhibition.
The conversational method has set the basis for all the curatorial project, but Rax Media Collective are artists first, and maybe it was not so easy to manage and organize other artists' work.
One thing we knew that we didn't want to do is pull in things because we like it. In a sense that curator has to broaden his own sensibility and spectrum much more. Otherwise the show would be what you thought or what you like. You have to always go to what you don't understand at some level. What you would not do otherwise. Like, I think 90% of the work I would not do in my own artistic practice. No way. I won't even go to any other of those kind of practices. So that was the process. How do you stretch yourself to get the amplitude more. So that you can draw more for your own understanding and your own artistic sensibility.
This is Jibesh Bakhchi from the Rax Media Collective, whom we met at Manifesto 7 in Bolzano. Talking about the relationship with the artists, the space of the Exalomix and the curatorial approach to it, Jibesh told us that at the beginning, when they were assigned the venue, they had difficulties to understand the spaces that some artists pointed out. They just did not see them. But coming back in the space once more, they could finally single them out. And that was just because someone had given them a new way of interpretation of the space.
So in that sense, it kind of makes you see differently, and you just go by that scene. You're not really bothered about what will come out. But just because it has opened you up to something, you keep that as your own surprise. You know, something will come out, because if that way of thinking can open up something that was so lost for someone who had been going like every day there. And she comes in like 2-3 hours and pick up something that we've lost to us. So that form of thinking, a lot of this work a lot of the people who work have that way of looking at the building and the thought process. So that I think is the most interesting thing about curation. You're completely surprised by your own, that I didn't even see it, you know. How come I didn't even think this? And we have been thinking about this for 4 years, still completely bewildered. That kind of has been very, that's the most joyful part of curation actually.
Switching our talk from the curatorial process to the concept itself of a biennial and their, we could say, proliferation, we ask Gibish, how does he feel about it?
What you see is basically a lot of places that this through Biennale entered the visibility frame of art. Like we have argued in some other place, is that if the same space needed to go by the modernist form of art, institutional form, it would have taken 30, 40 years. With the Biennale, they are able to pull together a very complete different set of priorities and also get an international dimension working simultaneously. So what you have is each site becoming an international site. And this is something that I was trying to explain to some journalists from Bolzano, that you have to start first taking this recognition that you are an international site. People are coming to an international site. Because once you are hosting a Biennale, it's an international site. It loses its localness in that fundamental perceptional form. So I'm not coming to a local place actually when I'm doing a Biennale. I'm coming to an international site to work with an international context. That changes the nature of the way the site, the intellectual geography of the site will be mapped. So it opens up at some level multiple players in that area who are able to take on this challenge of this new kind of openness in the circuit. It may make defunct an earlier form of doing art practice. And second, the third, it may open up very new, different artists in this process, which who would have not entered the art process without this intervention of the Biennale. So it's because like a lot of interesting artists in the world in the last 15 years have entered through the Biennales, because Biennales was able to draw on these different energies around. So I don't think there will be a problem of residue. I think Biennales will produce problem of an excess. An excess which is basically everybody making a claim on art space. Art practice. And do not forget, from 1990 onwards, 90% increase happened in the art space in the world.
90% increase in the art world in terms of spaces and interest all over the world. It looks like everyone became an artist.
Not so much everyone, but everyone has a claim to be an artist. So it's a claim. And another argument that we have been making is that with the rise of the creative industry and the rise of the proliferation of the creative industry, you will have more design schools, more art schools all over the world. In China, 1 million people apply to go to art school. So you're talking about a huge, complete change in the economic scale of within which art is to be produced and thought. And
all that is actually reflected in an incredible viewership in the contemporary art in the whole world. It's enormous. And biennials attract them. People that want to know what's happening in the art world through art. And what does art is has become a general question. So basically all this produced something very interesting. And also the fact that in these occasions, the biennials, there are always a lot of not official artists, which means people that do not claim to be artists, but are actually practitioners and professionals of other activities, like architects, designers, scientists, people that are able to give a different view on the art practice. And obviously, this happens at Manifest as well.
There are architects in the exhibition, 4 architects. Okay. And if you look the work by Reinhard and Helen, who are architects in Stavanger,
Reinhard and Helen are actually Reinhard Kopf and Sivelene Stangeland, a duo of Norwegian architects that, at Manifesta, present the work The Naked Garden, a rendition of biotope analysis and a wall perforation.
If you look at their work here, I think it means a shift. You know, it was a research into the biotope of this building, which gave them the move to create this work. So it was, they were doing a biological research of the building. Why? Because they were interested in how do you think an abandoned building as a site? It is not tabula rasa, but it's not just a plan, it's a building with a history and building in a certain state. How do you think it? So it was a kind of a research investigation in the building. Nicolaus and Michel is interesting.
Here he talks about other two architects, Nicolaus Hirsche and Michel Müller, who showed the Cyber Moala Hub, a modular project realized for Sarai, the cultural center founded by the Rax Media Collective in Delhi.
And Nicolaus and Michel is interesting. Always, like in alumni, I'm asked every time what happens to this building next. So there is idea of the next always. And on the, how is the next produced? Now, Nicolaus and Michel's next is a very interesting next. It is based on a long process of processes of workshops, meeting. So there is a site, there is a process there, there is a parallel process working in the site. They are having a process with that process. Then they're working with students to think of a building. So the idea was to open up a way of thinking what's next. That what next is not something that will be generated in a drawing room. What next is a very field-based thing. It has to do with how people will engage with each other. What are the terms of this engagement? What will come out of it? And the most interesting thing is that this building, if you look at it very carefully, is 6 by 3 meter, which is the smallest, very small size of a building. And this building, their design is that it should be used by 20 people. So what next is the smallest of the space with the maximum number of people could be imagined and could be experienced as a convivial space, as a space that you move, the space that you go on the terrace, sit. So this idea of what next is kind of, they rip it open, they open it for a discursive practice. So that's their work. So the scale of operation changes. So one goes to the building, Reinhard, biotope, studies the biotope. One goes to ask the question, what next? How do you understand this process, and what kind of question, or you can say aphoria, can be raised to this question, what next? Can be made into a beautiful intellectual puzzle, the what next, rather than a pragmatic solution to be made by architects, politicians, and the so-called municipalities. So in that sense, the architecture in the show is designed like that. It is not designed because they are architects, because they are making us ask very interesting questions about architecture itself. So that's the architect part of it.
But in the exhibition, they are not the only architects and practitioners of other professions. They are just some examples. There is the analysis of the space, our relation to it, but there is also our research and possible different ways of relating to the world, society and knowledge.
Is that if you look at Pirate Bay, there is a celebration of abundance. That we live in a world of abundance. We live in a world of plenitude. Why should we think in a scarce way? So everything is available, and there is a technological order that can make everything available for everyone. So why should we live like we have to always be in scarcity? So they're kind of celebration. It's a celebratory form. You know, that's why the work is a party, travel and party. That's the central part of the work. You celebrate life through these two moments.
Our conversation with Jibesh Bakshi suddenly switched on the idea of public space, which, if we stop thinking about it, is a strange concept. Let's take the venue of the Bolzan exhibition for Manifesta, the Axelomix. It used to be an aluminium factory, a public space that suddenly became private, and today is somehow a public space once more. The fact is that a lot of spaces in contemporary art are in this very strange position for which private properties are transformed and reused as public spaces.
And now that's where the thinking, what is this contemporary art about? What is its gesture towards? What it takes as art? It takes the different practices of a public space as an artistic practice and gestures you towards it. If this space has been made into a space through contemporary art into a domain of the public access, public has to mediate it, then you also have to start celebrating some of its aspects. So they celebrate gardening, you know, through Digger Barley, it celebrates graffiti. You know, through that, you know, it celebrates a bus ride. So these are simple acts of our life. So it starts to make you celebrate it, so that spaces are not that this is an intimidating space for high knowledge, high culture, where all your public acts are of no consequence. So that you have to continuously mediate it. It's a process of long-term discursive as well as practical mediations that will happen. I think there is a cultural practice that has become, which is about people determining what is the common denominator of perception. Like television, it happened in television a lot. Like we worked in television in our early years and we understood this process where there's a common denominator. You know, people understand this and not any other complexity. And that is what made television today. You know, it has made destroyed radio, destroyed television. You know. And then contemporary art comes, which is based on a peer. Actually, contemporary art is like a journal. It's a peer review system, you know, so it's an artist reviewing artists in themselves, an artist reviewing artists. And that comes like a UFO and stamp in this. So there is a confusion about it, there's an intimidation confusion. But if you look at the number of people that is trying to engage with it, number of publications, number of galleries, number of museums, number of biennales, what does it say? Say a few million have entered it, are seeing it, discussing it, reading it. And that's, I think, there is a space there. You know, there is a discussion possible which is not about intimidation and poor reception. That it is about what are the ways in which we will understand, you know, our material world, spiritual world, whatever you can say. And what are the different ways artists open up the possibilities. And the signs are all in front of us, you know. Instead of getting into the intimidation and poor reception debate, we can actually ask, what is this expansion telling us? What are these different objects circulation telling us? And maybe something else, some new questions may emerge, which won't get trapped in this binary.
He does actually critique any kind of mechanism of control that do exist in contemporary art as well. What's recognizable, what can be sold, what remains. And this takes us back to the concept of the exhibition, the rest of now. What is left? What is a residue?
So residue is not a negative concept for us. Residue is something that hints as of another possibility of looking and another way of thinking of generative environments, generative possibility. So it is not something that I'm despaired in the things have fallen off. Things will fall off. The factory starts with 60,000 workers, in two cycles of production it will need 40,000, three cycles of production it will need 20,000, and people are thrown off. But those who are thrown off may have gone out of the register, but they are also producing another life around it. And that is what is to be thought. So not so much the core, but when it falls out, what happens? What kind of life, what kind of forms of life they produce? And they tell us a very interesting story about what kind of other forms of life could be possible. So it's like a sideways glance, and you say that, okay, this narrative that you are telling, that this is the only way to go, may not be the only way to go.
This interview with Jibesh Bakhchi was realized in Bolzano, Italy, for Manifesta 7, in the occasion of Manifesta 7, the European Biennial. To know more about Manifesta 7, the Rax Media Collective, or to listen to other interviews, radiopapese.org.